Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Absolutely delighted that we have the guests that we have for you. Dr. Richard Bell is an associate professor of history at the University of Maryland and researcher of American history from 1750 through 1877. The Connecticut Historical Society explores the facts and fiction in Hamilton, an American musical. And in this talk, Dr. Bell discusses what the musical got right and got wrong about Alexander Hamilton, the American Revolution, and the birth of the United States, and why that matters. And I am absolutely delighted to have Dr. Richard Bell with me this morning. Dr. Bell, good morning, good morning.
Good morning to you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'll tell you something. I wanted you because you are going to lay out the truth about Alexander Hamilton, the American Revolution. It was a very, very popular, and it's still going on in some areas. So again, Dr. Bell, thank you for joining us.
Happy to do it.
Now let's talk about Hamilton. I know one thing. I read it. I don't know if it's the truth or not, but I heard that they didn't touch the bill that Hamilton was on because they didn't want to disappoint people. They were ready to get rid of it.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that, right? I think Hamilton was in the crosshairs for being removed from the banknotes.
Yes, he was.
One of the things that Lin-Manuel Miranda, who's the creator of this show, has done, has made it very difficult for the Treasury to move forward with those plans, because right now people have Hamilton mania, I would say, right?
Absolutely.
They have Hamilton mania in New York, they have it in Chicago, and they have it wherever this musical tours, and it toured through Hartford just a couple weeks ago.
Now, you are saying that, again, that it all was not correct in its presentation.
Yeah, that's right. Let me say a few things about that, if I can.
Absolutely.
The first thing to say is that this musical does get a lot of things right, and it's important that we note those things, right? The creator did a lot of historical research, way more than most Broadway musical creators do, perhaps. He had a historical consultant. He based the show on a biography of Hamilton. And so even though a few corners got cut as you turn a 700-page biography of a historical figure into 3 hours of singing and dancing Broadway theater, for the most part, the show is pretty faithful to the real Hamilton's timeline and character. Or to put that another way, if you didn't know anything at all about the American Revolution or about Alexander Hamilton or about the founding of the new nation, you could do worse than use Hamilton as a very basic textbook. So it's important to say that. On the other hand, of course, the Hamilton musical shades a few things in ways that most historians would say are perhaps a little bit too convenient or slick. So a good example, for instance, and I talk about four big examples in the talk I'm giving at the Connecticut Historical Society on Monday night, but one big example would be the treatment of those people called loyalists in the American Revolution. Most people know that not everyone in 1776 was a patriot. In fact, historians reckon, and they're estimating here to be clear, that maybe only a third of Americans were dyed-in-the-wool patriots at the start of the war, eager for independence, and that the other two-thirds of Americans were split between people who were very keen to stay part of the British Empire, those people we call loyalists, and another third of people who either couldn't decide or wouldn't decide or just wanted to keep their head down until this all blew over. So the country was the country. The colonies were pretty well divided at the start of the war. And yet in the show, and it's a great show, the show makes it seem like there's really only a couple of loyalists running around. And they're pretty backward, they're pretty conservative, they're pretty stuck up, and they're pretty wrong. And that's the sort of impression we've imposed on the loyalists after the war, when we know the Patriots won. As the war was unfolding, no one knew what was going to happen. No one knew who was going to turn out to be on the winning side. But the show doesn't quite let us see the American Revolution from that point of view.
Well, I would think, for me anyway, and I did not see the show, but for me anyway, it would be a very, very disappointing a program. It really would. And I'm sure that there were many that saw it, probably believed some of it. But why would they have to do that? What would your interpretation be why they had to do that?
So I would say, first of all, that the creator, Lin-Manuel Miranda, is very smart, and he knows what he's doing, and he knows what people like, and he knows what people want. And because this show went to Broadway and has to cater to a very broad audience and an international audience as well, then sometimes telling simple stories make more sense than telling complicated stories. Now, there is complexity in this show, and I think it's a great show on the most part, but there's not much complexity in terms of who are the heroes and who are the villains. And I know it's hard perhaps for some listeners to hear me say this because they could hear my British accent, but I do want to be clear that this is something that most professional historians agree about, that the Revolution was actually a civil war between Americans who couldn't agree, who couldn't decide on what the best path forward was, at least early in the war.
Again, again, the character Hamilton. Now, I read the book that was out, and it was very, very interesting. But I thought from my interpretation of the book that Hamilton didn't get the credit he really deserved at different times. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. And I think that's one of the ways that the musical actually does succeed, is in putting Hamilton at the center of the story, first of the American Revolution. You know, you see him as Washington's right-hand man during the show.
That's right.
And eventually taking decisive action at Yorktown, a key battle of the American Revolution. And then after the war, you see Hamilton rising to the top of the political establishment and doing all sorts of things which had great impact. So your listeners will be familiar with the Federalist Papers, for instance, those political pamphlets. I think there was about 80-odd of them published in New York after the Constitutional Convention to encourage New Yorkers to embrace this new plan for a national government. Hamilton famously wrote 51 of those 84 or so Federalist Papers. That's an amazing, astonishing achievement. He was involved in the first murder trial in the United States. He set up the early newspapers. He set up the Coast Guard. And most importantly, he served as first secretary of the Treasury in George Washington's administration and passed a financial plan, a financial system, which resembles, in broad terms, the financial system that's still with us today. So if you're looking for the origins of the modern United States, you could do better than nominate Alexander Hamilton as the person who helped create this world we live in now. And I think the musical does a good job in putting Hamilton front and center. He's clearly the main character, even though he's engaged and followed by Aaron Burr, who's like his nemesis throughout the show. And I think you and probably your listeners know what happens at the end of the show when Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton meet at dawn in New Jersey with pistols drawn.
Yes, and you know, and when you read the book, which I did, when you read the book, you just say, you know, how could this have happened? That was right away. How could this have happened? Because he was, you know, he was young, but he was brilliant. And Washington so admired him, too. And it all came out. And then in the end, to see what happened, that bothered me. I'm being very honest with you.
Yeah, no, I understand that, absolutely. Yeah, everyone, I think, does know, I'm not spoiling anything for listeners out there, that Alexander Hamilton died in that duel with Aaron Burr. And Aaron Burr was not just nobody. Aaron Burr was the vice president of the United States.
Yes.
At the time. This was a major political confrontation between two political heavyweights. And one killed the other in a duel. And even though our own, you know, modern political climate is very divisive, verbally violent, I'm glad to say that our politicians, our political leaders today no longer duel with each other, and it's partly because Hamilton lost his life in 1804. There were dozens, if not hundreds, of political duels in Hamilton's era. Hamilton himself was engaged in, I think, 9 other duels before the one that eventually took his life. Most duels didn't, of course, end in anyone firing a shot, or if they did, they fired it into the air. Most duels were ended in mediation, in negotiation, in people backing down from the brink of pointing guns at each other. And it was part of the political rituals of showing your constituents how honorable you were, that you were willing to put your life on the line in the first place and stand on those grassy knolls aiming pistols at each other. But you weren't supposed to die. People rarely got shot. Something the musical does take time to point out. But in this particular case, things escalated beyond either Burr or Hamilton's control, and one of them pulled the trigger.
Well, I'll tell you, I absolutely am honored to have you on my radio program this morning, because I, you know, when I found out that you were going to be with us, and I had, read the book. And, you know, that's another thing, too, that there were not that many who read about Hamilton until the show was on, and then they went and got the book.
You know, that's a great point. Hamilton the musical has been great for historians, and I'm a historian who want people to learn more about the period and the characters covered in this show. So I hope folks who like the show and who want to learn more about the period and the character will come out on Monday night, February 4th, I think it's 5:30 p.m., at the Connecticut Historical Society, and we can have a discussion and a talk about some of the issues I've raised today, and plenty more as well.
Oh, you will have an audience. You wait and see, and I am delighted, absolutely delighted that you were able to be with me this morning, Dr. Richard Bell.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure to have you. Thank you, sir, and continued success.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.